I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Futurology Show, proudly brought to you by MTN Business. Hello, B2.
Hello, B1.
What's up?
Good new, man.
Yeah, it's been good. I must say, I had a very rustic weekend. I didn't do much, which
yeah, me too. Me is it was quite, actually fantastic.
Quite rare. So, into a...
No Pokemon Go's?
I've got something on Pokemon just upset you, but I'm actually battling to find stuff, so hopefully it's coming to the end.
It's dwindling out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
All the people that are blogging are actually Pokemon going.
Yeah.
Saving us all the trouble.
Going far, far freaking away. So, as always, app of the week.
Yes.
This one is called Artisio. Artisio.
Artisio.
Okay. When I actually did some research into it, I found out it was made by a Russian company. You know, we've spoken about this before in the show, how there's so many networks and things that go on in the world that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
And Russia's one of those markets. I mean, they're huge. So what this does is it basically takes, you can either shoot a 10-second video clip,
okay,
or it takes an existing video clip and it animates it. So it puts in like either normal cartoon or sketching.
That's
or
cool.
I had fun with it. I must be honest. I had a lot of fun with it. You know, you take like a Vine or something like that that is comical already, and then you put it into like animation.
Okay.
So yeah, have a look-see.
Definitely. Artisio. Nice.
I believe it's available on both Android and iOS.
Cool.
See, playing nicely.
And we're gonna retweet all of these things as well. So
we'll retweet it out. Okay, so here's one. You know, I've been talking about this freaking renovation now that I'm living through, and I'm pleased to say that we're nearly
You're surviving.
At the end of it.
Yeah.
Barely.
Okay.
There's been two attempted murders, and
just in the kitchen.
Yeah, that was just in the kitchen. So we, you know, obviously when you're going through a reno and those, when you're going through a renovation, you start looking at stuff to throw away. So I've come across the coolest thing out. It's called the connected wardrobe. Okay.
Okay.
So it's probably relevant to today's topic, which is the Internet of Things.
Yes.
So what this wardrobe does is it sends you a text or an email to say that you haven't worn that item of clothing for X period of time. So let's say it's that, you know that Hawaiian 5-0 shirt you've got in luminous pink?
Yeah.
Why don't you wear every now and
every
then
Tuesday,
when you're
feeling
excited? Right. So it sends you a message and it says to you, you haven't worn this in a while. I'm going to stick it on eBay or I'm going to donate it to charity. That's what it kind of gives you those.
If I'm not going to wear it in a while, do you think anybody on eBay
so
wants
you
it?
So you either sell it.
Okay,
or,
cool.
Well, I mean, your pink Hawaii 5-0
it's
shirt.
It's Somebody's going to want it. I'll buy it. I'll bid.
But I mean, can you imagine like the chutzpah of it? You're sitting there like watching, I don't know, Ray Donovan and your phone pings and you go, this is your wardrobe. Yeah, I found three items of clothing you haven't worn for a while and here's the listing on eBay. But it's coming. These guys are...
Talk about the skeletons coming out the closet. There's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff that comes out the closet that we probably should have left there.
Probably.
Well, I haven't worn that in a while for a reason. I didn't want people to know about it.
But the donation thing I like. So let's say you don't need one to sell it. You can select donate and it's obviously predetermined as to who will come and collect it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was just something I came across that I thought was quite cool.
Connected wardrobe.
Are you a Star Wars fan? Or more importantly...
Star Wars, yes.
Or if not you, so if anyone else can maybe answer this for me, please, on Twitter at cliffcentral.com, on 0861-555-189, on WeChat, on Facebook, I don't actually care. But
hashtag
I don't know.
Futurology.
Thank
hashtag
you.
Star Wars, hashtag IoT, hashtag.
Okay. So they had this huge big announcement of Rogue One, which is
yes,
coming...
Yes, I saw the trailer.
So did I.
It was very different.
It was good. But... Where does it fit in?
I was trying to figure that out. Darth Vader's in this. Hold on, where he died.
Okay, so is it the prequel, the postquel, the current quel? I really don't know.
Cool.
So if someone knows the answer, please let me know because I don't actually know. And they called it something else. They called it, they now said it's called a Star Wars story or something.
Yeah,
Star Wars
so
story.
So it may not have to be that closely related to anything we know.
Okay, so I don't know. I'll guess Mike's not on yet, but just a simple head on yes or no. Do you know anything about Star Wars? No.
Okay.
Okay. We'll leave as Mike off.
There's no IoT in the Star Wars.
I just
the Death Star wasn't connected.
It looks cool, I must say. It looks cool, and I'm sure there's going to be grown men that don't sleep now.
I think when there's lightsabers and X-Wing fighters and TIE fighters, and, you know, it's always going to attract
attention. You're going to be really proud of me. I've got something positive to say about Microsoft.
Okay. I'll wait. I'll hold judgment until I hear what it is.
Well, it's only because it's their research division and it's involved with MIT.
Okay.
So they've come up with this, I'm going to call it a tattoo. They call it Duo Skin. So it's tattoo style on skin interface. And okay. Again, towards today's theme of internet
connected
things,
skin.
Yeah, so you like
duo skin.
You know how these a lot of these girls are walking around now with these like gold tattoos. They mm-hmm. they have like little beads and stuff and that on. So you can make this foil tattoo. You can make it yourself, which is quite cool. You get a yeah. vinyl cutter and you just use their materials. And you can put like patterns on your arm, so it like looks cool. But then you can choose what they do. So
that's
they can
wild.
Either be an interface, so you can actually like sit there and rub your arm and that moves the mouse on the screen. Or you can turn into an NFC control. So like okay. someone brings their phone and they get an NFC command off you.
Okay.
The one tattoo will change colors. Like it amplifies as your body temperature goes
you
up.
You put LEDs on it as well. It's just
I'm sure they'll get awesome. To it as well.
Yeah.
But I just like the fact that I'm going to use the word wearables with inverted commas because it mm-hmm. really is cool. You can customize it. It's got a personal statement. And it's like still involves tech.
That's
so
very cool. If anybody from Jurisken is listening, you did spell communication wrong though on your website. So MIT or not.
And there we go, banging Microsoft yet again. I did try.
F7 for spell check, guys.
I did try. So, Pokemon Chronicles for the week. Dun, dun, dun. The one that I love is there's a really big American adult film company that has come up with Pawn Stars Go, an XXX parody. Yes, I did watch the trailer and it is freaking funny. Okay, they've dressed this dude up like Ash. That's the main character from Pokemon.
Okay,
I know that because I actually watched Pokemon.
Is that guy that runs at 85 kilometers an hour or faster?
No, that's your avatar. No, Ash is like from the show. He's got like the red cap. He's like Pikachu's dude.
I don't care.
It's from the 80s. Okay, stick with me. So, yeah, they've got a porno out called Pawn Stars Go, and you've got to kind of catch them and them. So it's pretty. You got
a Pokemon.
You got to poke someone's mom apparently. So
Oh.
And then, just as I thought it was over, we go to Singapore. Now, I used to think Singapore was cool. I mean, they got cool rules. They got cool stuff. I'm actually going to read the job posting.
They've got a really fast swimmer who beat Phelps.
Yeah.
How's that? Mr. Schooling. Well done. That was amazing.
Sure.
Carry on.
So, listen to this. This is the verbatim.
Yes.
A company called Funzing posted a new job listing on Facebook Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Looking for Pokemon Go trainers to catch and train these virtual Pokemon. And yes, it's an actual job. We're looking for an enthusiastic Pokemon monster for the first ever Pokemon job in the world. That's scary that mm-hmm. that's actually the first ever. And there'll be more. If you're a Pokemon fanatic and you're always out on the adventure catching them all, we want you. That's how the job posting went.
How much?
Who cares?
Well, I don't know. I might start liking Pokemon Go.
No, come on, man.
Kidding.
So, yeah, I really did think I was getting to the end of the Pokemon Chronicles, but apparently not.
Nah.
Then, VR. Okay, because we always talk about VR.
I was about to say, a show without VR would not be a show.
No, but this is cool. So, Emirates.
Yes.
The airline. You know when you ask for a little baggie and you get like socks and a visory thing and some really cut toothpaste?
They're giving you cardboard now as well.
Yeah, you're getting a VR kit inside
3D
there.
Printed plastic.
It's not quite VR. I didn't jump on the website and bash them because I didn't want to be a know-it-all because I'm not. But it's actually AR. What they say is they use the bag as the trigger, which is blipper. It's blipper technology.
Okay. Nice.
So that's actually AR. I mean, I don't know if they're using a headset or cardboard, which is what deems it VR, but I'm assuming if it's Blipper, you go download an app onto your phone.
So while you're flying, you get to go and do a trip around Dubai.
Well, other airlines apparently are looking
without
at replacing
sweating.
their in-flight with VR headsets, proper VR, so that you have that personalized experience. But to me, that would hurt my eyes. I mean, I've used VR for 20 minutes and I'm kissed.
My eyes hurt anyway because of the proximity of the screen.
Well, that's the point.
Anyway, so
and for anyone out there that's looking at investing in VR, spend the money on a good headset because the lenses is what actually makes it work. Remember like with those Zeiss lenses we got versus some of the other stuff. So
yeah, those lenses are great.
If you're going to spend the money and you want to get into VR, get a proper brand.
Mm.
Facebook. So their little...
Have they changed something?
Yeah, they stuck a finger up to all of us. They basically started anti-ad blocking software.
They're blocking the ad blockers?
No. Yeah, well, say that again.
They're blocking the ad blockers.
They're blocking that, yes.
Okay.
They're doing that. So
Stick with me, Brett. Apparently, I'll translate for you.
Do you speak Brett?
I do, Brett.
So apparently on the desktop version, yes, you can't run ad blocking software or your page will stop working. So if you're running like third-party ad blocking software, your page will stop working.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a billion people, so I don't know.
They got to make their money somehow.
Yeah, I kind of
poor
get it.
Facebook people. No, shame.
Not that we ever go on a tangent, but let's go on the tangent.
How's Mark going to afford to go on holiday if he doesn't get people that?
But think about it. You get all that shit for free.
Mm.
Everything. All their apps, all everything. And in fact, the fact that they've acquired WhatsApp, that's the reason you don't pay for WhatsApp either. Mm. So if they're going to make their money out of advertising...
But you can't stop advertising altogether on Facebook. I mean...
But you can't stop on the web. That's what I'm saying. But you can't stop, that's why it's free.
But you can't stop it anyway because it's social by nature. So even if you wanted to advertise a pair of shoes that you were selling... That's advertising.
True.
I'm going to see stuff that I didn't want to see.
Did you post? Yeah. And so I think in their defense, they're getting better as well. Their programmatic is getting good.
Mm.
You're definitely starting to see stuff that's more relevant to you and your liking and what you've told them.
As long as they don't start swaying any more political decisions, then we should be okay.
And that then brings me to the Internet of Things.
Woo.
So the Internet of
IoT.
Things. Here's one for you. Let's see how much homework you did do. The phrase was actually coined by some dude called Kevin Ashton in 1999. Okay, and we only started talking, not you and me, like people.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And I see that our guest is nodding his head.
The buzzwords of Thinktonet were coming around a while, about 4 or 5 years ago. It was the Thinktonet before it became Internet of Things.
But here's the scary thing, and this is a question I'm asking, and then we'll get back to it just now.
Yeah.
This dude. This
Kevin
Ashton dude.
Ashton, yeah.
Oh, well, you guys are like buds now.
Yeah. Facebook friends, bro.
Sweet, man.
He advertises to me every week.
So he reckons that it's going to take a century to roll out.
100 years.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Jeez.
Not all of our listeners are with us, bro. We've got to drag them in.
That was for Dory outside. Let's see if she's listening. No, she's not. Okay, I dodged that one. And on that note, that gets us to our guest for today. Now, before we introduce Nico, this is actually part one of the Gartner Aspiring Innovator Awards. So
really
that's that is really exciting. So Gartner, for those of you that don't know, I mean, we've been speaking about the symposium for weeks, and we actually had Jeffrey on last week, I think.
Yeah.
It's a worldwide symposium, and basically it's to help businesses be better and do better and all those good things. And they go around to each country and they choose 6 aspiring innovators. And this is the first week of 6.
Yep.
And we are very, very pleased to say that we have Nico Steyn in here from IoT.NXT. Hello.
Next.
IoT.NXT. Oh, do you want to pronounce it next?
Yeah.
Next.
Thank
so
you.
It's IoT.NXT.
That's it.
But for our listeners out there, there's no E in next. Let them try to figure that one out. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brett.
Thanks. Which one?
Brett Square.
It's pretty efficient, actually. When you're
it's actually quite easy.
So I think first off and foremost, before you even start talking about IoT next, well done. And that really is something. I mean, Gartner is not by any means a small little organization.
No.
And to be named as one of the aspiring innovators, well done. I mean, that's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good recognition all around. So you guys are doing something right.
Well, seeing it's the first show, can you actually take us through a little bit of this aspiring innovator process, because we kind of came onto it at the back end. In fact, I think Brett, you even said, "Yo, this is great. How do we join?" And Jeff was like, "Well, we've
too
actually
late.
Picked them."
Yeah.
So take us through that journey before we get into IoT.
Okay. So a really pretty basic process initially, where we just needed to fill in some online forms really, in terms of what we do, and then I think that was a preliminary. That was really a preliminary sort of phase that we went through, and then post that we really had to give them a lot more detail in terms of what we've developed and what we've deployed and designed and so forth.
And how long was the process from that initial application to the point where you got the phone call after the interviews and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, I'd say it was about a four month process.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, guys, to be the 6. Okay, out of a 4-month process, and I'm sure there must have been thousands of submissions.
Mm.
I can imagine. Can you imagine some of the beginning ones? I have this idea. We do not send letters anymore. Yeah. We send electronic mail.
Yeah.
And they never heard back.
Email. Yeah. Where to go?
Right. So, you got the accolade, and as I said, you're actually first of the six. I don't believe there's an order. It was just how things were arranged through the PR company.
It's unfortunate.
No, we were choosing them based on the coolest dot but, next yeah, name.
But not on that note, though, Brett and I love IoT. I mean, it's a topic we speak about regularly. I think Uber, VR, Pokemon now, unfortunately, and IoT are things that regularly pop up. And I think the IT more so because of security aspects, which are some of the things we'll get into today.
One of the things I want to touch on is your slogan is bridging the edge. And I like to think that innovation, we like to push the edge of innovation.
Absolutely.
So that lives quite nicely with where we are. I think Brett and I have conversations around pushing the edge of innovation quite a lot. So bridging the edge is quite nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately, I can't actually take credit for that one.
You always should when you're on radio or public space. Well, just be like, yeah, it was my idea.
It was one of the guys that's sitting at the office listening, old Bertus.
Well done, Bertus.
Our CTO. And, you know, he doesn't talk a lot. He kind of
so
lives,
it's quality rather than quantity.
He very much lives in his own world, but when he does come up with these pearls of wisdom, it's like a eureka moment.
That's good.
I like that. That's excellent. Cool. So I don't really need to get into the name because IoT and the dot next is, well, you're on Futurology, so we'll talk more about the dot next at the end of the show. But Brett, cool. You got some questions?
Yeah, I think let's just start at the beginning of what IoT is. Okay, the Internet of Things, we have spoken about a few times. Mm-hmm. The fact that the founder, would you agree with that, by the way, that he is the founder of IoT? I mean, is
yeah, pretty Ash, much. After yeah, Ash. He okay, pretty much cool. 99, yeah.
Now, to make a statement like that, I mean, I read the article, and he was like, we're only 16 years into it, so 99, 16 years, get it. But the fact that he says it's going to take us a century to roll it out, no, how? I mean, if you look at computers over the last 50 years, from 1950 to now, 1950 to 2000, it was huge. Keyboards, mice, touchpoint interfaces, smart screens, etc. Do you believe that we need 100 years to roll out IoT?
Well, you know, if you look at it, it's actually quite interesting in terms of where we're at the moment. So depending on whose research you read, you know, it's anything between 35 and 55 billion devices that'll be connected by the year 2020, right?
That's insane. Eh?
Okay, so let me tell you what is insane. That's less than 1% of all the devices that we have in the world.
Currently. Wow.
Okay, that's even more insane. Okay. So we have double insane.
And then you need to appreciate that as this technology proliferates, so you will see more and more and more deployment of this of these types of devices. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if you'll ever get there.
You see, now that also brings us, I mean, Brett was saying we'll leave it to end the show. But that's obviously what's made you one of the aspiring innovators, is that you've actually sat there and realized that we need something to help us bridge that and get to manage. And we being businesses, more so than the home, I assume. The home, we're just going to buy something that's going to listen to us, it's going to track us, it's going to do what it does. But, you know, your idea to come up with IoT Next, I'm assuming, was to help companies bridge what they would need or help them plan.
Understand
if we're talking, about 100 years, it's probably a planning thing as opposed to an acquiring thing. Or am I wrong?
Yeah, so I think what has happened and why we're gaining the momentum that we are is that people are actually, you know, in business specifically, and we'll get back to just, you know, the connected world of IoT, but if we look at business, essentially the next phase, the next revolution is really taking place. And that revolution is really just, you know, businesses being able to understand what is happening operationally, being able to interact with their processes, with their, you know, with their operational side of the business in a, you know, real time or near real time environment.
Or even faster.
Yeah. So a lot of predictive stuff, you know, analytics, trends, you know, all of that stuff going to be, you know, sitting on top of all of this.
Now, you mentioned something just before the beginning of the show, and I'd want you to say it so that you can get the credit for this one at least. But you said business at the
speed of thought.
That's it. Business at the speed of thought. Oh, and that's,
no wonder he's on that.
That's no, I love that. Yeah. I love these little things you can hang on, the little quote terms and the hashtag. So business at the speed of thought is exactly where we are, and especially when you're pushing the edge of innovation. Things like IoT, people understand that they need to be a part of this, have very little idea of how to get on board. We say that bridges are important in the understanding phase of new tech, and this this digital gap or the digital divide, I call more of a digital abyss, if you don't actually have that bridge in place. And you guys are doing a great job, because IoT doesn't just take the stuff that's coming up. You guys are able to bring IoT into things that have been put in place. Maybe some big investment has been put down by businesses. You get in and help them, not just dropping tin, but with a strategy as well.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot to be said around that. And you know, the bridging the edge, when Bertus actually coined the phrase, spoke to a lot of things. So we talk about the edge in IoT, edge really being the layer where everything, all your things basically reside, if I can in simple speak, all your devices, all your sensors and all of that type of stuff. And I think the reality is, if you look at business, the biggest challenge that all of them have at the moment is, listen, I need to evolve into this digital era. I need to become more efficient. I need to drive a number of key aspects of the business, and I want to do that through digitization, but how do I do it? And one of the biggest challenges that the guys have, or any business really has, is, but I've got an existing investment. So sure, it's fantastic that you've got all this new stuff that you can bring to me, but how do we retrofit this stuff? And I think that, you know, we've put a lot of time and focus into creating that that capability to allow us to not only bring you, you know, the new stuff, the cool stuff that's available now, but also, you know, to be able to sweat the asset and the investment that the business has made, being able to integrate that onto the platform as well.
If I can jump in there, because I think the one thing I do share with Jeffrey Mann from Gartner is the love of the digital workspace. I mean, that's something he's known for, and it's definitely a passion of mine, and I spend all day long talking about mobility and the digital workspace. But you've hit something exactly on the nail. I've gone and spent all this money on devices at this moment in time. Okay, some of them are connected devices, some of them are probably already machine to machine capable, whether they've been activated or not. The last thing I want to do is a change, okay, because I've got it, I'm accustomed to it. But more importantly is, how do I make them play nicely together? And I'm assuming that's something when IoT Next comes into it, because, you know, we started outside. Brett, he uses an Android phone. Yeah.
Which Brett?
No, not you.
Yeah, no, don't
Nico,
not me.
No, Nico uses an Android phone, so.
Oh, yes. No, but we let him in anyway.
I know.
See, nice guys.
Okay, but guys, listen, hang on. I mean, we're talking porn, we're talking pink shirts.
And Android's the thing we get stuck on?
No, well, I mean, now we're starting to talk religion. Can we maybe just not do this, okay?
But, you know, what I always say is that the difference between an Apple and an Android user is Apple users acknowledge Android, and they're fine. Android users hate us, okay? Take that to the Internet of Things. Mm. You know, and I'm actually bashing Apple.
Everybody's
here indirectly. Apple's gone about building this whole ecosystem that they control what they want to control from a hardware and software point of view, from what you can do, from what you can't do. Now you're saying lift up the curtain and come play with all these devices, and the ticket to doing that is the Internet. How does that work? How does this type of autonomy or non-autonomy, if that's even a word, come together in IoT?
Yeah, I like that non-autonomy. We need to actually just check that, please, Brett, too. So
Google it. See if it's a word.
Yeah.
So I think that speaks to the heart of it. The fact that we've got something that's connected via something, you know, reporting to a that's not true Internet of Things. For me, Internet of Things creates an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Where exactly you spoke about earlier is where we have vertical digitization that potentially has taken place in your business or in your world, but that you also have that horizontal interoperability between those components, because that's really where the business value comes from. Business value comes from having integrated real-time information and understanding how that potentially impacts the business up and downstream and being able to communicate and share that data with third-party applications and being able to get insight from that.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think a lot of people also see the Internet of Things as the toaster at home that will automatically turn on when your alarm clock goes off because your alarm clock's been triggered by your phone. But, you know, I'm quite excited about the things like sensors, you know, how sensors within businesses can actually streamline everything, but more importantly, do it by themselves. And one of the examples that I came across in fact, it wasn't even in prep for the show. We were looking at something else. Oh, it was logistics. I've got a logistics client. and how sensors could now be put onto parcels or things that need to be delivered, and they will automatically talk to the racking, to the forklift, to the door, to the checkpoint, to the courier, etc., etc. And this is all driven on sensor technology.
100%.
And in fact, the guys that we had in last week, was it last week? No, the week before.
We were doing drones last week.
It was last week, it was drones. Mm. They have a sensor engineer as part of their team. I remember seeing them online.
Mm.
They have employed someone to sit there and just look at the sensors and how these things talk back.
Yeah.
That's obviously a space that's quite important to you as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we've got a very strong dev team around the actual software and the framework, but we also have a strong focus around electronics. Purely because, you know, that's what you're connecting to. So a lot of the sensor technology that's coming out now is more sophisticated. We see a lot more intelligence being pushed into those edge devices. But for the same reason, you know, you've got a lot of legacy stuff. So we talk about, you know, 50 billion devices by 2020.
Yeah.
Those are new devices.
Yeah.
So you and if that's 1%, you do the math in terms of the rest of it.
Excellent. Now, you're talking framework a lot. Now, you guys have created your own component framework. And the nice thing about that is that you're able to plug into a lot of devices or a lot of different devices from all strokes and scopes of internet connectedness, from sensors, which is great because a lot of people go, well, now I have to learn all this from scratch. You guys have created this one framework where anybody can sort of plug in with very minimal sort of integration.
100%. So, I mean, if I can maybe simplify it.
Yes.
You know, when we originally got involved in this world, we actually, you know, we're tasked to create an application in the security sector. And that really was to bring about 15 or 16 different subsystems into a single UI.
Okay.
User interface.
Yes.
So, you know, we looked locally, we looked internationally, we tried to find something that would help us, that would almost give us a common platform to actually mesh all of these things together. And guess what?
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, so as much as I'd like to say it was a eureka moment in front of the TV, it really wasn't. It really was more, it was almost an evolution for us. Because in that process, we realized there wasn't anything. We actually embarked on a bespoke development at that point. But at the same time, we then made a decision and said, listen, guys, let's develop something that, you know, we can reproduce, that's reusable, you know, and that we can, you know, that's agnostic in terms of technology and platform.
Excellent.
And that's really where it happened.
Cool. Well, we do need to pay the bills, so we'll be back after this.
When you're growing a small business, meetings, telecons and admin move into dinners, recitals and bedtime stories. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that the right meetings, telecons and admin means better dinners, recitals at the school you want and great bedtime stories. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business. A new world of business.
And we are back. So if you've just joined us,
we never left. We were here the whole time.
Well, all of us, okay. I can't. It's Monday. What I was saying. We're still here.
And so it's the Futurology show on Cliff Central.
Hashtag Futurology. So if you've just joined us, we're talking to Nico Steyn from IoT Next, obviously about the Internet of Things. B2, you had a question, comment, or something that you wanted to bring up.
So just before the break, we were talking about how necessity was the mother of invention and how you guys have created what has now become this great framework for people to add any spectrum of things into the connected world. Now, the one thing, people hear about all this nice new tech and they're like, wow, my business could certainly do with something like that, but it sounds very expensive. You guys have got a great USP here. So how does that work out from IoT.next?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that's where IoT is actually the game changer.
Yeah.
Moving forward, is the fact that from a technology perspective, a lot of stuff's being developed, and we actually seeing that cost curve coming down dramatically.
Yeah.
So in terms of edge sensor type technology and anything, in fact, that resides at the edge, because of the volume that you're seeing happening there, you will see natural progression will be that those price points get driven down.
For sure.
But more importantly, is, you know, what we've developed is that platform or that layer that allows us to bring in your existing tech, but also all your new stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what's important for that is, you know, everyone always talks about future-proofing.
Yes.
And I think one of the biggest issues that we had when we initially embarked on this was, whoever we were dealing with was trying to actually box us into a corner from a technology perspective.
Mm.
So you spoke about this, I don't know what the name of this mobile device is that you use, but you were talking about...
Oh, you mean the only mobile device, an okay. iPhone.
All right, but you know how that feels, you know, once you're in that world...
Damn good.
you know, that's kind of the world that you operate in. And IoT is really about breaking those barriers
okay.
and allowing us, you know, to leverage... You know, everything and anything that's out there.
And one other great thing, just we love African stories or local stories. I mean, you guys developed this. You developed it here. You didn't go out to MIT or out to Silicon Valley. You've developed it here in South Africa, which means we're not fighting euro costs. We're not fighting rand, although at the moment it's going the right direction. Mm. But it doesn't always stay that way. So there's great things there. But also there's a certain amount of uniqueness to the African problems that we have as well. So you guys are going to be not only leading the way in IoT globally, yeah. but you're going to be finding some niche examples to put it into practice.
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of things to be said about what we're doing at the moment. I mean, I'm very excited. I mean, we know what we've got. It is ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
It definitely is a product that we're busy looking at taking global. But, you know, the amazing thing about South African mentality when we develop something, and I've looked, you know, you look all over, you know, we don't take anything for granted. So from that perspective, we don't, you know, we're very defensive in a lot of the things that we do when we write code,
mm.
purely because, you know, the network's not always on.
Yes. Or we're on edge, which is worse than it being off, actually.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, when you use the word edge earlier, I'm thinking, hold on a second, I've seen 2G and 3G at most of my spots, not that edge.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of that type of IP that the rest of the world doesn't always, you know, really
they
even think about.
They don't need anymore.
Yeah, they don't need it. So, you know, there's some very unique things that we've done, which in an African context I'd say is very important.
Mm-hmm.
But as a result of that, it's also made our product a lot more resilient in terms of, I think, the international play.
I just want to jump in there because here I go with my double-pronged questions. When we keep referring to the product and the offering that you guys have put yeah. together. So, I mean, let's elaborate on that a bit. It's a web portal. It's a integrate portal. Take us through... What is the product of IoT Next?
Okay, so again, I think maybe if I can just try and illustrate in easy terms, you have the edge, that's where all your devices reside. So if we think of a factory, we think of a mine, or whatever business you have a whole lot of things happening at an operational level. And then right at the top, you actually have, of the stack, of the technology stack, you have lots of data coming through, and you have quite mature IT solutions, ERP, CRM type of solutions that have already been deployed. So we play in the middle of that. Mm. So, you know, between the edge and that analytics layer.
The glue almost.
That's it. We yeah. are the glue. Thank you. Did you get that off my website?
No.
Okay.
Seems like a very obvious. I think we're very similar. We can go have a beer later.
Invoice yeah, you we for, definitely.
Yeah, we can do that.
Royalties.
Lovely. Yeah. So that is exactly what it is. We play that role. And you know, so first of all, you know, we take care of that integration into all third-party type devices, analog devices. We bring them onto the network. We've created this fantastic hardware device called Raptor. Yeah. It's actually a field gateway, and again, not because we really wanted to, more a case of there wasn't anything available internationally.
Just take us through that. Is it a server? You were talking about hardware.
No. So really what it is, and a lot of the guys think that is what it is. The reality is IoT, in terms of field gateways, is very, very immature in terms of what has been developed. So guys are thinking we'll put like a little PC down there. What our gateway does, it brings all your analog devices, actually brings that onto the IP stack or onto the IP network.
So we don't have to have a SIM card for everything that was old.
Correct.
Okay. Exactly.
That's amazing. So basically also what you're doing is help preserve the longevity of devices. Because
precisely.
You know, Brett and I eat, sleep, dream tech. So yeah. We have a show all about it.
Yeah. Mm.
But there's nothing more for, you know, if you think as a person not in the space to go and buy a piece of technology and then find out a few months later it's now old. You can imagine what it's like for us. You know, yeah. we've done our research. We've chosen the piece we want. We've just installed it. We've high-fived Facebook, Twitter, Instagrammed, and everything. And then someone posts on there, oh, yeah, but have you seen the new version of XYZ? I'm like, no, here we go again.
Yeah.
So it's a physical device
yep.
that has a plug-in port. I mean, you know, it's radio. It's hard for me to see or
it's the middle bit. It's the bit
middleware.
It's
the
translator, basically, between old analog and
but
the cloud.
But that's got to be pretty much almost a world first. I mean, no one's. Yeah, I was going to say, no one's thought of middleware in IoT because it's machine to machine.
So you've got Arduino's... is it Strawberry Pi?
Raspberry Pi. I'm sure there'll be a Strawberry Pi somewhere.
American Pie. So you've got all of those things.
One, two, or three.
Yeah.
Remember what they did at Bandcamp.
But we've moved away. You know, we looked at all of that stuff, didn't like it. Security is a major issue. So we've gone, we don't have an operating system running on it. However, we can configure centrally, via software, etc. So we've got some...
So one central... operating or system that you can run everything that you've got going.
100%.
So even if you do have something that is future connected or comes connected, you can actually put it into your legacy stuff.
So I can sit in a control room in New York and I can run 20 million devices from there.
Check the factory floor and somewhere else. Okay.
And for anyone that wants to know, who's technical, because they always ask the question, we can update the firmware
remotely.
That's so funny. Only the techies would ask
that. Yeah. But I just, you've got
100%.
Yeah. That was a good smile. It's one thing. We're all doing it. Cool.
Yeah. So sorry. So that's the Raptor.
Yes.
But I don't want to stop there because obviously what we've done is we've created a very deep and wide application. So we've got the Raptor. Above that, you need a queue.
Yes.
So you need something to move the data.
Yes.
And it needs to be lightweight. It needs to be. It needs to be able to address plenty sensors. You know. So for instance, in one of our installations, we had to activate at least 1,000 doors under a second.
Oh wow! Okay.
You know, that type.
Where would
that
be? A prison or something.
Yeah. Yes, that's
okay.
Right. So
at the ANC voting gates to hold everyone back.
So we have that. So we've put a lot of work into getting that really nimble and lightweight. The next layer really is that data abstraction layer.
Yeah.
So that allows normalization of all your data source. So you've got a whole lot of stuff potentially coming through the Raptor, all your analog stuff. Then you have a whole lot of IP-based information
put
coming
that
through.
Somewhere.
So you've got to bring that stuff, you've got to normalize it so that we can, it's really like a translation tool.
Okay.
And then on top of that, we got the visualization component because that's really, that's where the value comes, right? When you can actually...
Interpreting this data. Yeah.
And on top of that, we've developed our own workflow engine as well.
And you've got a great name for that too.
Yeah.
What's that?
IoT Commander.
Dun, dun, dun. It's like I can think of Mobile Strike. You know that
it does
game.
Sound cool. Huh? Yeah, you guys have got the Raptors.
Yeah,
you
see
this dude walking
in,
commanders.
Like with these like Raptor birds flying, and this dude with his phone.
I think you guys should just win because you got cool names.
Thank you.
Like if you win for nothing else, the names are cool.
And we're not biased on this show now, are we?
No. But I got a BCom marketing degree. I can weigh in on this.
I want to stay with this, and I'll tell you why. So I've mentioned it a few times recently. I've put my father-in-law onto iOS because he's an older generation. It's the OS I use. So when he phones me for help, I need to be familiar with it.
Technical now, support is ready to go.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. But I'm sure we all have that situation. Our parents need help with their devices. Not even just parents. There are people that are technologically challenged.
Yeah.
And that's hopefully what IoT is going to help solve as well. Fundamentally, the fact that you can now integrate into these, I'm going to call them legacy systems, because even if they're at home,
dumb systems,
they really are.
Yeah.
The question is, and this is, I mentioned earlier that I had a double-pronged question. The thing that I fear most about IoT is security. I haven't gone and covered up the camera on my MacBook the same as Mark Zuckerberg did because I don't really give a shit. If someone wants to log on and see me picking my nose while I'm working at night, well, that's their problem. But I do care that someone can log into my home and engage with my child or see what's going on in the home environment. And I would assume the same for business applies and probably even more so. How is security addressed, one, by yourselves, but two, surely this is the biggest stumbling block or the biggest resistance to people moving into IoT-related industries?
Yeah, so I think security is a big issue and become a bigger issue as time goes. So I think, when you choose or you look at a solution out there, you need to be very cognizant in terms of the types of technology. So, I mean, we use military-grade encryption on the Raptor and on our queue. We've done a lot of plumbing, so to speak, to almost make it, well, obviously to make it very, very difficult. Mm. You never want to say impossible, but you want to really make it very, very difficult for third parties to come into that. And part of what we did in the Raptor, the development of the Raptor, is we didn't use an operating system. So, you know, there's a very small attack surface. In fact, not really any. It's firmware. So, you know, a part of good being, you know, the developer on the thing, it really is very tough to actually hack. But it's going to be a problem.
Is there cleansing or indoctrination procedure? And so every time a device comes in, because I tell you, you know, it's fine if the Raptor itself doesn't have software or OS, so, and I understand why then it can't get hacked. But I bring in my phone, or I bring in my computer, or whatever it is, and I now introduce it into an IoT, the edge, okay, my edge. What are the procedures then to clean or clear or close down any loopholes or security risks? And does your system do that? Is that part of the offering?
Yeah, so that's part of what we do. You know, there's device authentication. There's certain encryption modules that we've included. In fact, the way that we've designed the queue is, you know, there's almost a two-stage authentication that actually needs to take place. So and then user roles, you know, properly defined user roles and access around that. So, you know, it's a continuous job for us to make sure that we combat that.
You and I have got no chance, Brett. Our ADHD, could you imagine getting a message on your system? You are in the queue for verification.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, did it take longer than 10 seconds? But that's the thing. I mean, it's all about making things more efficient, making businesses become less reactive and more proactive with the information that they have at hand.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep that up your side. Yeah. But you've also got to try and grow the clients that you've got, and also make sure that you can go back to the guys that have got their heads in the sand, or the winds of change are blowing all around them. And you're going, but guys, this is what it is. So education's a big part of what you're doing in IoT. How are you tackling that?
Well, let me say this. If you look at all the major vendors and networking vendors, all the big names,
yeah,
they're spending billions of dollars in terms of securing their environment. So you know, we accept that from a, you know, big corporates and the vendors that are out there that are developing that technology, that they're going to crack it. They will make sure that they secure that part. Then yeah, the keys from there, once you're actually running inside of that network, is to also make sure that you secure the device. Mm. In terms of what we say to our customers is, you know, we need to add value.
Yeah.
So if you know, it's one thing having all the stuff connected, but if you're not getting true business value, efficiency, getting driven through the fact that, you know, everything is talking to one another, that's the key, is to go and actually find the pain. So a lot of what is driving IoT at the moment is strategy.
Yes, you know, so I was about to say
it has to be strategic thinking, as opposed to IT really delivers on it. So it's not that much of an IT decision, as opposed to strategically, where do we want to move this business? Mm. How do we want to disrupt our space?
Mm.
And through that, let's implement and see what technology is available that we can plug in there.
Exactly.
And we don't care what that technology is. You know, IoT.next will make it work for us. We don't care what it is. Let's find the pain, strategic issues,
and extract
pain,
the gain,
and get the gain.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, Internet of Things, the things aren't replacing humans, and that's the prime reason why we need strategy. But at some point, these humans need to understand that evolution, digital evolution, is a part of the new business. Yeah. And extracting that gain is sometimes the bumpy process, and I think when we always say, when we're working at the edge of innovation, you've got to fail fast or learn quick or both. And I want to hear some of those stories. How did you guys fail fast in the early inception days of IoT? Because it sounds like when you guys started IoT, it wasn't even called IoT; it was called something else. So yeah, tell us a few of those stories.
Yeah. So, you know, initially when we got involved, it really was around a security contract to bring all these subsystems together, and you know, we got into that environment having to use a whole lot of third party stuff, and that was extremely painful.
Yes. They don't want to talk to each other.
No one wants to talk. Eh? It's like it's one of those parties where you arrive and everyone's friends.
Everybody's in the
but
corner.
No one wants to talk. So you know, so we really And that for us was, it was almost a non-starter. It was a case of, we'll do it this once, but we'd never actually be able to. I mean, if you had to go through this every time, it's just
not feasible. Yeah,
not feasible. So that's where we said, listen, we have to do this thing quick. We, you know, and we need to find something that, that's got that ability. And our whole approach is that when we sit with a customer, we say, listen, let's go for a thin slice.
Yeah.
Let's not go and reinvent, you know, everything in your business immediately. You've got 57 great ideas. Let's tackle one.
Mm.
Put down the framework. Get one up and running. Really cost effective. See how we, you know, prove the concept. And then from there on, we build.
Can you take us through some of the clients that you've worked with? I mean, I can understand if you can't mention names.
Sure.
Some of the sectors you're operating.
Yeah, yeah. I just want. I think what's nice is people don't realize how diverse IoT Next has actually played.
Yeah. So that really was also, you know, initially when we looked at this thing, we said we wanted to be able to be cross-platform and cross-industry. So I mean, we're playing in mining, we're playing in automotive, we're playing in the meat processing plants. We're into feedlots. We're into agriculture. Dalian, help me. I'm going blank.
Security, food processing was interesting.
I was going to say, let's go back to the meat processing industry. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think anyone thinks there's any form of technology involved there. Bring animal in, slaughter it, pack it, get it out.
Correct.
You know?
But if you see what these guys are doing, there's actually a beautiful piece that's actually being done currently around it. Very advanced.
They play music. Dun, 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 dun. I had to go there.
Pause, stop, engage.
But let's stay with the meatpacking one, because that's a great example as to what you're doing to change that perception of what we think.
Well, let me explain to you. These guys are they're also changing the business a bit. So they're a feedlot, then they're an abattoir, and then they're meat processing.
End to end solution.
So literally in the morning, you know, Mr. Sheep comes in. He's covered in wool in the afternoon. He's backed up nicely.
He's again.
And he's in a truck. You know, he's moving off.
Ready for the briar.
Prime rib or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah.
The vegans and veggies are going to be sending the hate mail through now.
Okay, I'm sorry about
that. But are we shortening processes through IoT? I mean, now we've got things where, let's go stay with the food side of it. Sorry if there's anybody squeamish, but we've got to weigh the meat.
Yeah.
At some point, and that becomes a process, and then we've got to hang the meat, and it's got to be taken somewhere, and some of those conveyor hooks and stuff that are moving. Yeah. Now you can put a scale onto the hook, and you've got a smart hook that's weighing while carrying.
Exactly.
So that's just an example or a use case.
Yeah, exactly. So the same in buildings.
Yes.
You know, creating that kind of environment. So you get pressure sensors now for chairs. You know, so is someone actually sitting in the chair, and where's the chair in the building?
Huh?
Yeah, all that
you
kind
check
of
the
stuff.
Toilet, so someone goes, and you get a text, you've been there for 5 minutes. Our policy is only 4 minutes.
Well,
for
more importantly, just understanding footfall going into the bathroom and letting maintenance know.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so after 400 footfall,
so this goes back to the sensor thing, which I mentioned just now, and that's what excites me about IoT, is that you can develop sensors for them. I mean, the only sensors that we really know about are proximity and Bluetooth, you know, or Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
things we see.
Do you develop these sensors locally as well, or is this a different protocol altogether that has to be ordered?
You guys are still in the middle.
So that's not really our game. We're partnering with some guys locally, but I mean, internationally there's a massive drive. So I mean, if just to give you an idea, I mean, we're playing big into the mining space. We're very excited about what's happening there, and there's a massive drive. And you know, there's also been a bit of confusion. If you look at mining, guys will talk about, we've automated processes within the mine, but it's, again, it's a silo. So they've deployed a SCADA type application, which is now automating a part of their process.
Do this when this is this.
Exactly. Yeah. What Internet of Things now does, and where massive efficiency comes, is we take all of those technologies, some of that stuff very old, and some of it new. So we've got drones, for instance. So we can now, within a couple of seconds, in the cloud, report total mass flow in an open cast mine from pit to port, everything. You know, so something that maybe took 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now is a couple of seconds.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's IoT is not the tail that wags the dog. It's this idea that you can have this cross section of a point in time of your business and be able to see exactly what's happening right now. It's not about controlling the thing.
Yeah.
That IoT is about reading what the thing is doing naturally in its environment and trying to help it optimize its
Thank you, Brett, too. I mean, we need to definitely go for this beer.
Yes.
So yeah, I was going to say.
I don't need any excuse. I'll go any day, but that's
you're
cool.
Running out of all the thoughts of the week here, but throwing them out there.
IoT's cool.
Yeah. So this is exactly what it is. It doesn't have to be invasive. I don't have to, you know, come and kill your network. So we can come down with an overlay network. We can come and have a look at all your different components within your business, and we just bring them seamlessly together, and it's non-invasive. So we're not going to come and, you know, crash everything that you've already got or replace everything that you've got. If it works, we'll leverage it. If there's new technology that comes that's better than what you've got, well, then you've got the freedom to choose that and move from there.
No, I think it's I love it. I must be honest,
super exciting.
It really is exciting. Just by the way, we always talk about Candace. She's available to talk again.
Yes, there's no more gagging.
Yes, so we congratulations. We can definitely get her back in. I just feel that the biggest stumbling block for the world, not us, I mean the entire world, is the ability to let go and let these machines do what they need to do. You know, I think at the moment we all see our businesses and our homes as our own little lily leaves floating in the pond. And now you're saying, well, you want mine to talk to yours without me knowing about it. To let go of that, you know, Brett said the machines aren't going to replace humans. But I think they actually are, to a point. And maybe that's this 100-year thing that our friend Ash, I'm on a first-name basis now, is alluding to, because he's actually trying to manage...
You mean Kevin Ashton? Yes, are you talking about the Pokemon Go guy?
Not the Pokemon Go guy, no. You know, we're actually scared as humans. And I think we maybe need another generation where the generation grows up playing with these devices as a daily life.
Correct.
To actually let the reins go.
So I was worried that, you know, we had a whole hour to talk. I wasn't quite sure how we'd get through.
And that's easy, huh?
Can't we just do another hour? So, I agree.
Well, this is the fourth IoT show we've done this year.
Good. So, I mean, non-discretional decision making is a key driver inside of IoT, because if we know that 1 + 1 = 2, we don't need a human to make that decision.
Yeah.
You know, so that really is the next phase in terms of AI and bots and all of that good stuff, helping us to manage it better and more efficiently.
For sure. Exciting.
We do have to wrap it up, Brett. Yeah. We're at the top. I need your thought of the day, week, month.
Cool. Well, very relevant to IoT and the digital evolution. It's one of these things that we're just going to keep moving through. And we're moving into a new era of digital. And I believe that the next era of digital is the autonomous world. And we're seeing it all over the place. So while we've called 2016 the year of innovation, we're moving into this place of autonomy where the machines are maybe starting to replace humans, but more for greater efficiency, greater convenience. But it's allowing us to have a great foundation for a collaborative economy where we can keep doing what we're good at while the machines help us do it as well as we can. And it's really letting this autonomous world of the future thrive. We're setting this great foundation now so that our kids are going to actually get it, to be honest. But so we've got to lay it great.
He'll let the machines take over, but not in his lifetime.
Like you said, in order to grow, you have to let go. And we're going places, which is great.
Awesome. Right, Nico, thank you. Congrats again.
Thank you.
I don't believe this is the last time we'll be speaking. In fact, we'll see you at the Gartner Awards down in Cape Town.
Definitely.
So we'll get you on air there as well.
And we'll record your speech when you get the prize. Oh, sorry, the other five?
So
I'll be as kind for the other five.
Again, Futurology Show, proudly brought to you by MTN Business. Thanks again, guys. And until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.